Welcome to Session 83 of the Bible in a Year Commentary. If you started this series on the 1st of January, then today should be the 24th of March. Today we'll be looking at 1 Samuel 18 to 20 and Psalm 83. But so far, in 1 and 2 Samuel, we've read through the rise of Samuel. His mother Hannah was unable to have children, and every year when they went to Shiloh to worship at the tabernacle, she would pray to God for a son. She promised God that if he gave her a son, she would give that son back to God to serve him. Eventually, she gave birth to a son named Samuel, and when he was old enough, gave him to the priest Eli to serve in the tabernacle. We read that Samuel grew up in God's presence and grew in favour with God. But in contrast, Eli's own sons were disobedient and rebellious, as were Israel. And so God allowed the Philistines to defeat the Israelites, killing Eli's sons and leading to Eli's own death. Samuel stepped up to fill the gap and led the Israelites to repentance before defeating the Philistines, giving the Israelites a new era of peace. As Samuel got older, the Israelites did not want his son leading them, so they asked Samuel for a king. Samuel warned them that this king would oppress them, but they weren't interested. So Samuel gives them what they want and appoints a young man named Saul to be king. Saul led the Israelites to defeat the Ammonites, who were waging war against them. Everything was going well, and so Samuel officially retired, warning the Israelites to continue to be faithful and obedient to God. But then we read as Saul showed his true colours. He offered sacrifices himself when he wasn't meant to, and he made foolish and impulsive decisions that impacted his people negatively. In contrast, his son Jonathan proved himself to be wise and courageous. When God asked him to do something, he pretended he was doing it as God asked, but even in that, he was disobedient. So Samuel found a new king, a young shepherd boy named David, who may not have looked the part, but had a good heart. When Samuel anointed him, the Spirit of God left Saul and settled on David. Yesterday, we read as David, in faith, led the Israelites in victory over Goliath and the Philistines, showing God's favour on his life. So let's jump in with today's reading, 1 Samuel 18 to 20. After defeating Goliath, David went to live with Saul. There he met Saul's son, Jonathan, and the two immediately became close friends. From here, we start to see Saul's jealousy towards David begin to grow. As David began to prosper and be successful, he won the favour and support of the people. Rather than celebrate David's successes, Saul saw this as a threat to himself. He recognised that God's favour had left him and had come upon David, and so he tried to kill him. At first he tried to do it himself, but failed. So next he tried to convince David to fight against the Philistines in the hope that they would kill him. Saul offers David his eldest daughter in marriage if he would go out and kill Philistines. But in this we see David's character shine through. He declares that he's not worthy of becoming the son-in-law to the king. David's humility contrasts with Saul's pride. Eventually, David is convinced that he can earn his place if he can kill 100 Philistines and bring evidence back. David immediately jumps up and sets off killing 200 Philistines. The favour of God is so clear upon him, he's successful at everything he does. So Saul tries to kill him in other ways, but both times he's defeated, this time by his own children. The first time, Jonathan overhears and persuades his father not to. The second time, his daughter Michal, now David's wife, helps David escape and lies to her father. We see how even Saul's own children would rather side with David than him. David stays with Samuel for a bit, and Saul tries sending servants to go capture David and bring him back. The result is very strange. Everyone Saul sends, including himself at the end, is struck down and forced to prophesy. The term prophesy is used very loosely here. It's likely that they were babbling or speaking words that they could not be understood. The point is that God intervened to protect his servants, rendering Saul and his men helpless before his power. Finally, we see Jonathan try one last time to smooth things over between David and his father. David tries to convince Jonathan that his father Saul will not see reason and comes up with a plan to prove it. He will not turn up to court for an evening meals. If Saul comments on it and is calm, all is good. If he flies into a rage, that's the evidence that he will never make peace with David. It happens just as David said it would, and Jonathan realises that Saul is determined to kill David. So Jonathan makes a commitment to David and asks that when David becomes king, he doesn't forget Jonathan or destroy his family. The two say their goodbyes and David leaves. We see through all these stories the character of David. Through everything, he is a faithful and obedient to God, and God has caused him to flourish. In contrast, Saul has been disobedient and God has abandoned him. As we continue, we're going to see these two things more and more as David continues to prove himself worthy of the position of king. But that's 1 Samuel 18 to 20. Now let's look at Psalm 83. This psalm is attributed to Asaph, one of King David's musicians, and falls into the category of lament. It's a very simple structure. We have verses 1 to 8, the complaint, and verses 9 to 18, the request. The psalmist opens with a quick request that God no longer be silent before jumping into their complaint. Their enemies have raised their head, enemies who hate God. They plot and they plan to see the nation of Israel wiped out. The different nations have all come together with this intention. nations that were previously enemies are now united in their hatred of Israel. Edomites, Ishmaelites, Moabites, Hagrites, Ammonites, Amalekites, and the Philistines, and many, many more. So the psalmist makes a request of God. They ask that God defeats these nations and lead us like the ones God has defeated in the past. He mentions Jabin and his commander Sisera, which we read about in Judges 4. And then there's Oreb, Zeb, Zebah, and Zalmunna, all kings that Gideon defeated in Judges 7 to 8. Each of these thought to destroy Israel and claim their lands, but were defeated by God. The psalmist asks that God burn these nations up and blow the ashes away with great wind. May they realise the strength and might of God so that they would turn to him and worship him rather than to try and to destroy his people. In this last section, we see the usual declaration of trust embedded in the psalmist's request. God is powerful and mighty, the most high over all the earth. This truth gives the psalmist the confidence to make their requests. Even when all the world is against them, God's people can still cry out to him and be delivered.